You know, it's not all about just being a superpower for God, but it's about the idea of being able to walk in love and the kind of compassion that Jesus Christ had. And we're going to look at a little story today about that. So love is important in everything we do for the glory of God. But faith is also, what I believe, is the ability to call things that aren't as though they are. And we do that for God's glory. So faith needs, in my opinion, somewhat of a release point, something to focus on, meaning that our faith needs to be focused on something that we're going after. And maybe you can think of something right now. So we need a target. You know, what's your target today? Do you have a target that you want to release your faith on? What do you want your God to do? You know, many times we think God's too busy for us, but He's not. You know, God is a personal God. So I believe that we need to be specific in our approach to Him. Now we're going to look at a story in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52, where Jesus went and healed a blind man. But He made that blind man define what he really wanted, which is, to me, kind of an astounding little story in itself. So we're going to pick up the story in verse 46 and read down to verse 42. It says, "There they came to Jericho, and He was leaving Jericho with His disciples and a large crowd. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Many were sternly telling him, 'Be quiet.' But he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Come here, call him here.' So they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take courage, stand up, he is calling you.' Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said, 'Go, your faith has made you well.' Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the word. We thank you so much for the life-changing experience that we've had with you so far. But Lord, we know there is power in your word to be able to change our life, to take us from where we're at now, to take us to where we need to be. And Lord, right now, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you, Lord. I yield to that gift you put inside of me. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. We bind Satan from trying to steal the word out of our life in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. To me, when I read this story, you know, I just think Mr. Obvious here. Okay, a blind man's crying out. And Jesus says, "What do you want me to do?" You know, you can say, "What? Can he see he's blind?" Yes, he could. Jesus knew he was blind. But nevertheless, He wanted him to be able to define exactly what he wanted. Many times you and I fail to define what we really need from God. We just think that, you know, maybe just kind of go with the flow, or, you know, God will figure it all out. Whatever happens will happen. But I want you to think about something. Many of you maybe go out to a restaurant from time to time. And when you go to the restaurant and the waitress or waiter comes up to your table and says, "What would you like?" How many people say, "Whatever"? Probably not too many of us, especially if you go to a steakhouse. "Oh, just bring me what you want. Whatever's easy." No, we don't do that, do we? When we go to a steakhouse, we're shelling out big bucks. And I'll tell you what, there's nothing worse than a bad steak. When I go to a steakhouse, I usually say, or one of my favorite is Pittsburgh medium, baked potato with butter and sour cream, salad with blue cheese dressing. Oh yeah, could I have a slice of lemon for my water? I define exactly what I want. Pittsburgh medium means you sear the steak on the outside so it cooks and keeps the juices in. And I like it medium to medium rare. I define exactly what I want. And if I don't get what I want, I'm a little disappointed. I mean, there's only been one time in my life I actually sent my meal back. It wasn't a steak, it was something else. But it didn't really, I'll just say this, it wasn't like it was in the picture. You know what I mean? We've all had that happen where we've maybe been disappointed. But I'm very specific in what we want sometimes. I'm specific at a restaurant, and I know you are too. And if we're that specific with food, How much more do you and I need to be specific when it comes to the things of God that pertain to life and godliness? It should be a high priority. It should be something that's very important that we actually define. The reason why many times Christians don't get to the place they need to be is because they don't have a specific thing that they're going for, they're going after. Now, Bartimaeus, you know, he was raised a Jew and he'd been trained in the synagogue and knew a lot of different things. Even though he was blind, he could hear, he could understand some of the concepts being thrown at him. Now, when Jesus said to Bartimaeus, he could have got all religious on him. You know, like a lot of times we do. He says, "What would you like me to do, Bartimaeus?" "Lord, if it be thy will." He could have done that. We've done that before. Or perhaps he could have said a classic, "God knows what I need." You ever done that one? "God knows what I need." Kind of a prideful thing. And to me, it's fear is what it is. Because you're afraid to stretch out. You're afraid to reach out to God. No, Bartimaeus didn't say those things. Bartimaeus actually said, "I want to regain my sight." He was specific. He wanted to see. We take so many things for granted. My wife and I was up in Des Moines visiting somebody in the hospital, and we ended up stopping by this place to eat. And, you know, I got up out of the chair and, you know, a little stiff, you know, getting a little older. I thought, man, Lord, that's a bummer. Then I looked up and there's a guy with two artificial legs and one artificial arm. I shut up. I shut right up. Because sometimes our focus gets off task and we need to be looking at the correct things. And I believe that if we look at how good things are, I believe we're going to gravitate that way. Now, Bartimaeus wanted to see again. And he was very definite with Jesus and what he wanted. And I believe that our faith needs to be released so that it can be able to work. And this is what I found in my life. Sometimes I just take it for granted. Sometimes I get that same idea, God knows what I need, you know. Why do I need to apply myself with this? Why do I need to pull out the Bible and look up a scripture and go through all that rigmarole to actually use my faith? Or maybe I could just pray some little doodad prayer. God, you know what I need. But God wants us not to apply our faith that way. He wants us to be more specific and definite in what it is that we want to do and what it is we want to see Him do in our lives. Now, you and I can slice and dice this scripture any way we want, but I want to throw out verse 52. And some people don't like to look at it from this point of view. They actually resist it. But verse 52 says, "Your faith has made you whole." Your faith. That kind of puts a little more of the responsibility back on us to some degree. Now, a lot of people sometimes try to resist this and they think, you know, that, you know, it doesn't work that way, that God initiates all healings. There is some that God initiates through the gifts of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. You know, there's the gift of healing. But here, blind Bartimaeus, he cried out to God. Whatever he learned, how, some way in his life, that Jesus Christ had the potential to grant his request. He knew he could. And if we can get to that place in our walk with God, I think most of us know this in our head a little bit. But sometimes we get to the place where we don't really believe that we can receive it. And Bartimaeus reached out in faith and touched God. He reached out and touched Him. And he was healed. He reached his faith out. And you're talking about a man that couldn't see Jesus. He could only hear about Him. Stories were told about Jesus Christ of Nazareth, what He would do, what He could do, what He'd been doing. Bartimaeus had never seen it. Never seen it. But yet he believed and he reached out and he touched Him and he was able to be healed. And we need to see the importance of how faith plays in our walk with God down here. What we need to do to get our faith level up to the place it needs to be and then maintain it. I found in my life, I can obtain anything. It's maintaining things that gets to be a little cumbersome sometimes. Because there's so many things that come in to scatter my attention and, you know, get to spin in this plate and get to spin in that plate and doing all this, trying to keep everything going, that I get so preoccupied, my priorities get out of line. But what I need to know and what I need to remember is the fact that I need to keep my faith walk up to where it needs to be. And as we learn how faith works, we're going to see how important that is. You know, a lot of times when things don't go the way we want, you know, we play this card. You know, that we're waiting on God. But I really believe that a lot of times God's waiting on us. He's waiting on our faith level to get to the point where it needs to be so that we can release it, and then we're to the place where we can receive it, to be able to take it and go with it, and to be able to see God glorified in our life. And that just all comes by, you know, getting everything in our life kind of lined up. And it's a process. You know, making sure we have the balanced life and how important it is to stay connected to God and stay connected to church and, you know, stay connected to other people. Because we need other people in our life. No person is an island. We all need each other, rubbing on each other, you know, challenging each other, praying for each other. All these things come to pass and, you know, and it all just works together. So, and it's a process. Now, in this faith walk that I'm talking about here, we need to get to the place where we look beyond the natural. We've kind of touched on this a little bit from time to time. Now, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we walk by faith and not by sight. You've heard that many times, I'm sure. Walking by faith, not by sight. I believe when I first got saved, there's a Christian rock band that was just kind of coming out. It was kind of a new thing. Petra has a song like that. If you ever look them up on YouTube, they have a lot of old songs. And, you know, they really sing the Word of God. And good band, good band. But I think they have a song like this, as well as many other artists do. But, you know, the part of the faith walk that we need to understand is this right here, is that we just can't go always by what we see with our natural eyes. Now, like I mentioned, Bartimaeus couldn't, because he couldn't see. He could only hear and be able to absorb the information and make his determination based on that. Now, you and I, it is a blessing to be able to see miracles, but also sometimes what we see with our eyes sometimes can talk us out of what we believe in our heart. Have you ever had that happen? I have. You know, I knew in my heart this is possible, but then I look with my eyes. And I let my eyes talk my heart out of what I know God can do. And that's a hindrance in us. And we need to get to that, because what I found in my faith walk is there's gaps. There's a gap. Sometimes God tells me to do something, so I start out following God, and then I get out there, and all of a sudden I can't see God anymore, and I look back, and I can't see that behind me anymore where I was, and I'm just out there in this gap, this area where I'm just kind of feel like I'm alone. And see, that's when I need to stay true to God, and just stay true to what I know, and just to not go by the natural, but to know what I know in my heart. And be able to see the spiritual. Because those blind gaps, those gaps that we're running on, it just seems like we're running blind. And those are hard to do. And how those blind gaps come in to affect us is what I found out, is that it's the daily grind of life that can sometimes squeeze the life of God out of us. We have to go do this, we have to go do that. Some, you know, this is here. And then that daily grind holds us, and it keeps us from doing what we know in our spirits versus that comprehension of our mind. And we forget the realism of, you know, with God, all things are possible. And we get out there in the fight of life, and we're doing this and doing that, and this is happening and didn't go the way I wanted, and all of a sudden you just kind of get ground down and your faith gets weak. You're not alone. Everybody goes through this. So don't let the devil lie to you and think you're the only Christian who pulled back, you know, because we've all done it. But it's what we do when we realize what's happening. That's important. Do we get pumped up again? Do we stay connected to God? Can we turn the situation around? Because these two worlds collide all the time. And you and I are going to have to pick a side. You're going to have to pick a side. That's just the way it is. You know, As I was going along, I read a story, and it really resonated inside of me. You know, one night, a house caught on fire. And inside was a young boy. And he was on the second floor, and his dad was down on the first floor. And the fire started, and the dad made it outside, but the boy couldn't make it down the stairs because, you know, the fire was there, and he couldn't get through, so he could only get up on the roof. So he made his way up to the roof. And he was there, and he was scared, he was frantic, he didn't know what to do. And all of a sudden, a voice from down below, the father crying out, "Jump, I'll catch you." The boy thinks about it, and he got afraid, and you know, because the father knew that's the only way he was going to save his life, because the boy was going to die. The flames were going up, and all the boy could do is he could look down, and he would try to see his father, but he couldn't see his father. All he could see was a smoke that was bellowing up out of the house, and the flames were licking around, getting closer and closer. And the father cried out, "Jump, I'll catch you." The boy says, "No, Daddy, I can't see you." And the father cried out, "But I can see you, and that's all that matters." See, God can see you. He knows what you're going through. You may not know what's going to come around the corner. You may not know exactly everything going on. And that faith walk, where you have to walk by sight, or by walk by faith and not by sight, is scary. But know this, that God is with you. He can see everything. And He's there, and He's going to catch you. And that's all that we need to remember. So, Bartimaeus, he had that decision. He could have laid there and sat there. He said he had his cloak out. What they did, they'd sat there and they'd open their cloak up. He'd be down in the squat position or just sitting down, and people would come up and they'd throw coins or different things in his lap. And that's just how he kept track of what people would give him. So he was living his life, living on other people's generosity. But what he did is he picked out on Jesus' potential to heal was better than living in darkness, which he'd been accustomed to. And a lot of times, we would prefer to stay where it's safe. Here he had an income. Here he had stuff. He probably didn't go hungry. Back then, you know, generosity was an important trait in the Jewish culture. You know, you would give to the poor. You'd try to help them and, you know, make sure. And you'd know God would see and you'd do that. So, hey, God likes me because I'm being a nice guy. You know, so he was surviving. But in the natural, he couldn't see, but his spirit, he knew that Jesus could make him see. So he had a choice of understanding, knowing that God had the potential to turn him around. And he got to the place where he didn't want to live off other people's scraps anymore. I don't know about you, but I hate scraps. Leftovers I can handle. Amen. I like leftovers. Don't have to cook, just pop them in the microwave, whatever. But scraps. I don't want scraps. I don't want other people's past their leftovers in the next stage down, you know. And see, he got to the place where he didn't want scraps anymore. And he got tired of settling for that. And when you and I get tired of settling for the scraps that we have, and there's a lot of Christians just settling for scraps, not really getting all the good things that God has for them. And God wants to open the door for us so that we can receive those things, so that we can be able to, you know, go out. See, it's to God's best interest that you and I grow in Christ, because as we grow in Christ, we become more of an asset to the kingdom. So He wants us to get to that place. So we just need to yield in our lives to do that. So how do we live these kind of things out? Number one, Jesus is looking for daily connection. This is how you walk by faith and not by sight. Daily connection. That daily connection with Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible even says, give us this day our bread for the rest of our life. No, it don't say that, does it? You and I want that. You and I, if we were honest, and you could say, do you want to have to go to God every day to receive what you need, or would you rather just get it all right now so you can make a plan, so you can ration that out, you know what I mean? We want a ration. You know, if I'm going to live another 20 years, I need about this much. Yeah, get it all figured out. No, Jesus says daily bread. He wants us to come to him daily, to keep that life-giving, you know, relationship. And sometimes we just want all fast. It reminded me of a time, we have these discipleship books. And it's made to go for an 8-week study. And you do it, you know, 7 days a week, or really six, I can't remember. And you go through this, and you fill in the blank, and you do this, and it's supposed to take 8 weeks to get through. Well, I remember giving it to a person, like on a Wednesday, and they came back Sunday and said, I got it all done. I go, what? You got what done? Well, I did all the 8 weeks. Oh, really? That's not what it's meant to be. Oh, yes, you got all the information, but you didn't absorb it. If you'd have done it like it said and just do day one and do that and then meditate on that a little bit and then do day two and then meditate on that a little bit and you get it inside of you and you'd be stronger. Now all you have is information. You don't have revelation. See, it's a daily connection that you and I need, that we're able to walk with him, that daily bread. Children of Israel in the Old Testament, when God led them out of Egypt, they had to follow God or they would die. They were in the wilderness. They were out in the desert. And whenever the pillar of fire would pick up and move, or the cloud, they would have to follow. If they said, I'm sleeping there, I'm staying behind, they would have died. They'd have been out there all alone. They had to stay close to God. Their survival depended on it, and we have to get to the same way. Have you ever had somebody want to lead you somewhere? Maybe you're, you know, in a large town. You know, we wouldn't get too lost here in Albia. But I know if you was out in a big town, maybe Chicago or something like that, and you were there and you met somebody on the street and say, hey, I'm trying to find this. Could you tell me where it's at? Oh, I'll just show you. So they lay it off talking, and here's people all around pushing and shoving, and all of a sudden, after a couple minutes, they're gone. You're lost again. You didn't stay close enough. Or has anybody ever tried to lead you, like in a car? Oh, follow me, I'll get you there. And they run the red light, and you being the conscientious citizen that you are, you don't want to run no red light and get no ticket. So they're all way ahead, you can't even see them no more. That's why I always ask if somebody's showing me direction. Exactly where are we going? You know, where am I heading? You know, because I don't want to run a red light just to get there. But see, all these things is, if you don't stay close to the source, you're never going to make it to where you need to be. So we have that idea that we want it all right now, but that brings us back to the idea of self-sufficiency or God's sufficiency. So if we get over the idea of that we want to try to get everything all sorted out for the rest of our life and get to the place where I know that I need that living relationship with God every day, then that's going to put us on the road to success. So what we do daily is going to help or hinder our faith. And this is where a little more practical. We're getting zeroing in a little bit more. What do we do daily that'll help or hinder our faith? So how do we help our faith? Okay, that's a good point. That's a good question. So read the Bible, pray. Yeah, them are good. Fellowship with other believers. You know, those are all good points that we need to do. But in the daily grind, sometimes those get pushed to the side. God understands. God knows what I'm going through. God knows I'm busy. I don't have time for God. You may not, so you think. But you do that over a period of time, before you know it, God's out there and you're lost. Now, good news is Jesus is a good shepherd. He goes and finds a lost sheep. Amen. But don't use that. That's a cop-out. If that's your A game, that's not a good plan. You're never going to grow. The only way you stay strong and the only way you grow is to stay close and do whatever that needs. So you can figure that out for yourself, what helps you. You know, maybe coming on Wednesday night and fellowship with other people, making other friends in the church, you know, and discussing certain topics and stuff is going to strengthen you. You know, maybe whatever the case may be. But, you know, building those things to be strong and whatever you need to do to get it done, because that's important. Because, you know, if we don't keep our faith stimulated, we're going to become uninspired. And once you become uninspired, then the spiral starts, the spiral turn down. So that's why we need to be careful. Now, I believe, and this is hard to do, like to get there, not there all the time, is we need to live in a constant state of expectation. You know, when you expect something, usually you see it happen. If we get to that place, then we're going to be good. Now, Bartimaeus had been living in bondage till Jesus aroused his faith. And once he heard that, he responded. He could have laid there. He could have heard about Jesus, but instead he cried out, God, I need you. I want to see. He could have laid there. But no, he was willing to change his circumstances. Instead of staying in his circumstances, he wanted out of his circumstances and closer to God. So he went from being a beggar to a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, what amazes me, the scripture it says it right there, is right when he got healed, he didn't run off and go tell everybody. He didn't go have a big celebration, go tell all his friends and family, look at me, I'm healed. He started following Jesus. He said it followed him down the road. He stayed close. He knew that if Jesus was the source to heal him, how much more could Jesus do in his life? So he started following Jesus down the road. So all I can say is we need to stay close to the source. And I'll be honest, we're living in a time, especially for the American church, where a lot of people are not staying close to the source. And we don't want to become a statistic. Amen? You know, we can actually say, well, it's going to be okay, or da-da-da, we don't have to do this, don't do that. But I'll tell you what, you know, I've been at this 30 years, and I know what works and I know what doesn't work. And, you know, what works is to stay close to Jesus. It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Just because everybody else is out partying and living it up and living the high life and thinking everything's okay, you know, they're just growing farther and farther and farther away from God, not staying true to what they know in their heart to do. But the wisdom is to stay close to God and let His Spirit feed us. And as we do that, we're just going to be like the children of Israel, just staying close to Him. We're like Bartimaeus, just light out following Jesus. And maybe that's what happened when Jesus Christ set me free. I didn't run off anywhere else. I knew that He was the one who changed my life, so I started following Him. And I just want to challenge us to do the same. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we honor You today, Lord. We thank You so much for the power of Your Spirit. Lord, that we